This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2B2 podcast. Daddy, Dave,
and Steve
are awesome.
I want to see people's faces, and so the art kind of bothers me that it doesn't really give like a detail.
Not good detail. More like kind of an impressionistic.
Yeah, exactly. It's very impressionistic. That it's kind of like I said. It's a little bit disappointing. I won't say that it's disappointing, but it is just a wee bit. But it's still really cool though. It's still really neat and gives me a little bit more of a image to work from because I totally got sidetracked from The Expanse, by the way.
I bet. Yeah. Well, I was going to say that we finished season 2 of The Expanse.
Oh, you did?
And I love, don't get me wrong, my wife's into it. She doesn't know anything about the books.
Yeah.
I'm like, she looks at me and says, is that in the books? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And it's like that's that curse of being a fan of one thing and then seeing it transported or transformed into something else. It's like, I still enjoy it.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. It's like whenever they went to Eros station.
Yeah.
Like Eros, I kind of always pictured it in my head whenever I was reading the book that it's like super clean and all like this type of stuff. But then when they get there and it's all dingy or whatever.
Yeah.
But then when they're at Ceres was like super clean and all like this. Whenever I'd kind of pictured that in my head is like the dingy kind of ran down, kind of like not so well taken care
Very
of.
Very different.
Like they had them both like switched.
Your head cannon's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, exactly. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying it's bad, you know, and for what it is, I really wish The Expanse had gotten the treatment on a, you know, God bless Sci-Fi Channel for doing it and starting it out. And now it's switched over to Amazon for the fourth season.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll pour some more money into the production because it's obvious that they were working with a limited budget and they did great for what they did.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. It's still a great show. I haven't started book two yet. Like I said, just a second ago, like I got sidetracked with Red Rising again because you'd mentioned something about it. And I always say that I keep that book loaded on my phone at all times. So that way, whenever I run out of one and don't have anything else to listen to, I can just start Red Rising. And so I started Red Rising. I'd finished The Expanse, the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have anything left to listen to for the rest of the day. And I still had like 6 hours left to go to work. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to start Red Rising. And of course, I totally got caught up in it, even though I know how the story goes, like
it's
the back
so
of my
compelling,
hand.
Compelling, though.
It is. It is.
And especially I fell in love with I had just read it on my Kindle when the first book.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I had reached a point where I was really far ahead in The Expanse. And I'm like, I'm going to take a break. And I'm like, found some really great deals on Red Rising. So I got them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. It just draws you in. The way the narrator is so good with accents.
He is.
And the story is just so, it's just, we've gushed over Pierce Brown so many times. We should be called a PB.
we should podcast. Be 2PB podcast.
Because he's just a really good storyteller.
He is, man. He is.
And I put him in the same, just like the guys in that do the Expanse books. They just know how to tell a story that grips you and it doesn't drag. It just moves.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, and Scalzi does the same.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've got my dad hooked on the Old Man's War books now. And I got him the first one. And then he was like, oh man, what's the next book? I gotta read the next book. And, you know, the next book, what was the second book? I can't think of the second book. It was, The Lost Brigade.
Yeah.
The Lost Brigade.
Ghost Brigades.
Ghost Brigade. Yeah.
And then The Lost Colonies.
Yeah. The Lost Colonies, the third. And so I got him the second book and I told him, I was like, look, you know, it's the same thing that you and I had said at one point in time is that it really kind of bogs down at one point in time, whenever really gets technical about it. But as soon as he gets out of the technicality part of it, then it just moves. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same thing with, I will say I never felt like The Expanse or Red Rising bogged down, but they both, you know, like you said, they're both compelling stories. They both keep going. I will say one thing that I thought was kind of, I don't know, funny or kind of neat or whatever. The first season of The Expanse ended where I said would have been a good ending spot for the book, the first book. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess a lot of people might have had that same idea or whatever. Don't get me wrong. I was still happy with the way that The Expanse, the first book, ended. But yeah, it just kind of, you're like, oh, well, that seemed like a good ending spot, but they're going on. So this is still pretty cool. But, and then I started season two and it started with the battle. I was like, I haven't heard this yet. So I stopped. I was like, no, I'm not going to go any further.
Yeah, good move. Cause the one thing they've really done is we've already talked about how there's a person in the TV series in the first season.
It's
not brought in until Christian Avicella or however you say her name.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters in the book. I kept telling my wife, wow, she really is not using enough profanity in this. I'm like, this is TV.
Yeah.
Like, she's a potty mouth old, like I imagined her like in her 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
Frail looking lady, which is this mouth of a sailor, which is what it is. That's one of my favorite characters. But like, yeah, they went. And I'm not trying to spoil anything, but they took stuff from like book 3 and 4.
Oh, really?
And already like this, maybe not four.
Yeah.
But have already started merging that in like season 2.
Yeah.
So,
and I will say that they did give a big spoiler in season 1 to, I don't even know if it's season book 2 or book 3 or maybe even book 4, that the girl that they were looking for, that her dad basically kind of like, set her up or whatever, almost.
Yeah.
Like this, like they gave, and I think it was just like a clip and it's like, oh my God, whose idea was this to edit that little part as like in the upcoming episodes or whatever? You just gave away a big spoiler and it's like, I guess I probably should have said spoiler alert just a second. Hey, spoiler alert for future reference.
I see kind of why they do it though, like talking about some of the characters that were brought up.
Yeah.
That start out because in the book, they can take a lot more time. You get to introduce to these people. It's kind of cool. The story starts unfolding away from your core characters of Holden and the bunch.
Yeah.
Naomi, Amos, and Alex. But, you know, in a TV show, that'd be startling almost. It's like second season starts. Oh, we're following. Wait, what's this about? So they're kind of introducing these people. You kind of get a feel for them. You get to see what they're doing while like the first book's going on. They're showing stuff that would have, they just didn't write in the book.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
I did say what did bother me the most about the show is that they kind of like, I won't say that they missed the character, but the cohesiveness of the crew to where they're even saying like, well, that's not my captain. Even though like everybody in the crew is calling Miller their cap, not Miller, but Holden their captain.
Truth be told, that really made me mad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really bothered me because it's like, there's the crew is not, like I said, there's not as cohesive as what they should be.
Yeah.
They're very separated. Like I'm for myself. I guess almost what would be considered like a group of pirates, but they don't even seem like they're pirates. They seem like their moral compass is Holden.
Yeah.
And Naomi is kind of like, well, you can still be moral, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's, I don't know. Like I said, it did bother me just a little bit, but I'm not going to hate the show.
They just decided to develop the team a different way instead of starting out. Everybody loves Holden.
Yeah.
Okay. Make him earn their trust. I get that. It's a storytelling thing. It's more dramatic. Oh, they're not getting along.
Yeah.
So instead of everybody just like, oh, Holden's the best, and Amos will kill anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do love the way they showed it more to me, I guess, from seeing it in the show, that Naomi is Amos's moral compass.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I listened to, I didn't know if I told you about that. There's like at least two little novellas out. Like it's like, it's book 2.5 and 3.5 or something
that. Yeah, I didn't know
that. Where they go back, and I've listened to both of them, and they're only like an hour and a half, 2 hours each. So they're real short. And like the first one is called The Churn, which is cool because I didn't know what The Churn meant until I read that. And he goes in, and Amos brings it up in the TV show. Well, this goes back and shows you Amos when he was a kid.
Oh,
and why is Amos like he is?
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I heard he mentioned something about it or whatever.
That shows how he got from Earth to space.
Yeah.
And then the next one follows.
I think he says just meat for the churn or something like that, I think is the line that he uses.
And there's a whole reason why he's using that term because there's this churn.
He's
like, we're expendable. We're all just pieces of cogs in this churn that's eating everything up.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if I die or you die. That's how he looks at things.
Yeah.
That's the way he grew up. Everybody was just a piece of property to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, cool, it's so. Oh, definitely.
Oh, this is another Expanse show, I guess.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm the tongue.
The lingua.
I was like, that sounds so bad. But I get why you said it.
I was like, it's actually a compliment.
Yeah, I get it. But you go tell you, hey, this is Michael the tongue. Everybody around me look at me, Gene Simmons? What?
Right? Yeah, no. Exactly.
God. And Steven deserted. I've said this before. I really think it's me. I really think that Steven's got a problem with me.
I don't know. We never
can get here together.
Right, I know it. He always gets fired on the weeks that you're here, and then whenever he's here, you're fired, and it's just...
Well, that
I'm the anchor. I'm always here.
Okay, you're the anchor.
I'm the anchor.
I'm the...
The tongue.
The tongue. I'm going to go with lingua.
Yeah, there we go, the lingua.
And Steve is the grandpa?
Yeah, the grandpa.
The
MIA.
The MIA, he's the grandpa. He's a, what's, okay, I'm the tongue, the progenitor.
Yeah.
The source of life. He's going to carry on all our DNA. Right. That sounds weird.
Right.
Okay.
But welcome back from vacation, senior.
Thank you.
It's good to see you, man. I was hoping, like, I was like, man, I really hope Michael can come over and record today. Like, I was needing some 2BT FaceTime, man.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been over here.
Yeah.
I mean, we recorded a couple of times from my house, but it's just not the same.
I was about to say, that's fun, but, you know, we shut down the video feed so that way it doesn't, like, bog down the signal and stuff like that or whatever.
Someday, some genius will figure out how people in rural areas can have high-speed internet that doesn't cost $1,000 a month.
Well, that's what doesn't get me is... That's what I don't get. That's what doesn't get me. Get grief there. I go talking like Yoda again. But what I don't get is, you know, they found out real quick on how to run cable out to the rural areas, but they can't do internet out to rural areas that doesn't cost an arm and a leg or whatever.
Yeah, I could have high speed landline to my house, but the phone company wants to charge me $7,000.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, sorry. My oldest daughter is the one that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're just going to, this is us on dial up. You're having to deal with this slow internet as us having no internet.
As long as you're not having to use like a 56K modem or whatever. Man, I remember that you get online and you try to be all sneaky about it, but then your computer's making that big loud.
Yeah.
And then, like, you think that you're connected, and next thing you know, it didn't go through, it didn't fail or whatever. So you got to try another number because there's too many lines going into the one.
AOL and all that.
Oh, yeah. Way back in the day. But how was vacation, senior? You said you had some stories to tell, so I was ready for Michael's story time.
Well, I'm old and I forgot all of them. No, I was, before we get into that, so I was coming over here today and jumped in my wife's car because it gets better gas mileage and you live a long ways from me.
Yeah.
And I was like, open the door, and it's been sitting. She parked. We're recording on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Friday night, she got home from taking my oldest daughter to go do something, and it sat there ever since. Not that long, right?
Yeah.
Open the door up, and kid you not, I almost face planted into the just giant, perfect spider web. It was running from the steering wheel, so it's not perfectly like across, like looking in. It was at an angle. So from the back of the door where the door shuts, you know, the structure of the car there, back of the seat, across to the steering wheel, to the ceiling, all the way down to the seat. And it was the most beautiful, intricate spider web that I actually tried to take a picture of it. I couldn't get it. My camera on the phone couldn't capture it for some reason. So I called my wife. I was leaving. I was like, come see this before saving your life. Because if she had face planted into that,
She'd have
just had a heart attack and died.
She's
really scared of spiders.
Same here.
Not that scared of spiders.
Yeah.
We've established it. Yeah, I'm a big sissy. I'm scared of sharks. I'm scared of bears. I'm scared of pretty much anything eating me. I'm not really scared of spiders except for like black widows and stuff that sneak up.
Yeah.
So that said, I'm getting in the car. I take the spider web down. Don't see the spider. I'm like, oh, maybe it just fried because we, you know, still having really hot days and it's sitting in the car.
Yeah.
Maybe the spider just died and went away. not too worried about it. So driving down the road, thinking about, well, we'll talk about with Dave. And I started having one of these, like, you ever have these moments where your brain starts functioning really high speed?
Oh, yeah.
And really being productive, and all these thoughts are clicking in your head that, and it's always when you can't write anything down.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking about, oh, what can I talk about with Dave about going down to the coast again? And then, started thinking about the history, the 2B Triple T project we want to do someday on the side.
Yeah.
2B Time Travelers, 2B T Time Travelers.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I'm really fixated on the coast of Texas now. And I started to think about, I've told you I have a history in studying history. Graduate school about like Texas history, water resource development and rivers. And I was like looking about how I'm just obsessed with the coast.
Yeah.
And you look at the map and you go all the way to Florida through there, and just the history and the importance of shipping, how important it was and still is. But at one time it was the source of everything we could have.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that said, then I started thinking about, well, all the Native Americans that lived here at that time, and I'm like, you could go so, and I just like scattered balling all over the place.
Yeah.
And then it could go into this. And then I started thinking about, oh wow, that is a cool idea about playing the RPG when we do it. I've got the perfect setup for Dave and Steve to be transported into this fantasy world.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, there's a giant spider 6 inches from my face looking at me. And
I would have had a wreck.
Literally by my head.
Yeah.
I sit up high in the seat like you would.
Yeah.
Probably 5-6 inches. It's right there. And I don't know what kind of spider it was.
Yeah.
And I'm driving 60 miles an hour down the road. It's a 2-lane road. There's no pulling up. There's no shoulder. There's nothing.
There's bar ditch. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. The abdomen on this thing was almost the size of a dime.
Oh, my God.
And then you got this little head part with all the 8 legs sticking out, and it was up to no good because it was not just sitting there patiently. It was moving around. I don't know if he was starting to do his web again or if he's starting to pounce on me. Like I said, don't know. His body was kind of this weird, I've never seen one like this.
Yeah.
Weird orangish brown.
Oh, wow.
Color on the abdomen. I'm like, okay, keep your cool, man. I'm driving. And finally, I found a spot to pull over, and I'm looking. And I'm like, okay, no sudden moves here, dude.
Yeah.
You just stay up there. I'm going to stay over here. And I reach and grab something and smash. And you know, normally I'd take it and I'd throw it out, but
yeah,
my adrenaline was rushing so quickly. It was like,
you had to do
fight or flight, dude. I'm not gonna jump out of this car. One of us is ending here.
You handled that a lot better than what I would have.
Like, I called my wife up and I told her, I just saved your life again, because it literally, I said what would you have done if you'd have looked up and the spider was right by your face? She said, I'd probably just wrecked.
Yeah,
I'd have just gone off the road.
Yeah, that's probably what I would have done. Yeah, I would have. Well, I'd take that back, because I've actually been driving down the road before. It was a tiny little bugger, though, man. I was going down the road, and I'd had kind of the same thing. There was like a spider web, but it was going from the cover on the, I can't think of the headliner.
Yeah, headliner.
The headliner to the steering wheel. And I saw it whenever I first got in, so I like cleared it out of the way. I looked all over the place, couldn't find a little spider anywhere. And as I'm like driving down the road, it comes like doing that zip line thing, like right down in front of my face, about like, oh, probably a foot away from my nose or whatever. And it's just dangling right there, like kind of swaying back and forth. I could tell it was taunting me. And so I was just like, oh, I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, he was tiny. Like he was smaller, like the body was, even his legs was smaller than a dime, like what you were saying. So I just rolled down my window and did a little swatting motion. Letting go fly free with the other flying spiders or whatever. I like to think that he lived and he set up shop somewhere and he's probably plotting his revenge.
Luckily that didn't backfire and he had a really firm grip on his, where he just swung back like Tarzan into your face, your beard, and you're like pulling your beard around. Right. Oh my God.
Like even made the Tarzan scream noise. Oh,
not so easy there, brother.
Right.
I'm going to crawl in your ear and lay eggs.
Oh man. Yeah. And see, I sleep with CPAP, so they can't get in my mouth. I heard that that's like all a lie, by the way.
What?
The whole, you swallow so many spiders per year in your sleep.
I've never heard that.
I've heard.
Oh God, I can't sleep now.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that that was actually like a false thing to see how fast rumors could spread. Hmm. And the new now modern age of like the internet and stuff like that or whatever.
Oh, that is ridiculous. The stuff that gets spread around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then it think was, about how many fake celebrity deaths and why would you do that? Why would you say so-and-so is dead?
Like Willie Nelson. I hear like once a freaking every 2 months that oh, Willie Nelson's died. Oh, Willie Nelson's sick or whatever. It's like, look, we all know that Willie Nelson's old, but that would be like, you know, life would stop for 3 days in Texas, it seems like, if Willie Nelson passed. You know,
everything go half-mast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But you asked about the...
That's about the coast,
so,
man.
So, the first time, a couple of weeks ago, we went down, and that was just like for a day. It's a trip down, trip back, but we rarely don't have the kids. It's a scouting trip is
what it was.
But yeah, we really was. It's just really going on an adventure, finding somewhere cool, and we're like, we rarely don't have both kids.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we ended up, I hate to say luckily, but luckily got rid of both of them for
luckily.
A weekend.
And yeah.
Actually, from a third, we dropped the youngest off at grandma's on Thursday and just drove.
Yeah.
Drove back down there, got there at night. And, you know, we're doing it on the cheapest. Tank of gas down there, tank of gas back.
Yeah.
And we were thinking about staying till Monday, but Mother Nature decided to do something else. But we found the spot on the beach that we loved. Set up tent. This time we brought an awning.
Yeah.
Kind of thing to kind of put in front of the tent so we could sit in the shade.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was just a lot of fun. And then to explain, this is the only beach in Texas where you can drive up and down. It's 27 miles. You got your pick of all this space. You can have as much seclusion or you can be around the party as much as you want. We want seclusion.
Yeah.
So first morning we get up, we get on the ferry. We wanted to go eat at this place, the Gumbo Diner. And Galveston. So we get on the ferry, go across it, and I finally figured out there's a USS Seawolf, which is a submarine from World War II that actually the actual United States sank during World War II.
Oh, okay.
And it has a destroyer parked next to it.
Yeah.
But there's always been this ship sunk out in the channel. And I finally figured out that is the USS Selma.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
And finding out about that is it was the largest concrete ship ever constructed.
Oh, wow.
And you're like, why would there be a concrete ship?
Yeah. I was about to say that just blew my mind whenever you,
it was during World War I and there were steel shortages.
Oh, wow.
So I think the government contracted or set up experimenting with making ships out of concrete.
Yeah.
Apparently it worked. It was a really huge ship. It was used as an oil tanker.
Oh, wow.
And it only stayed in service for a little while because at some point it hit something while it was down near Guatemala or something like that. And it got moved up here. They kept trying to fix it, couldn't fix it, and they just scuttled it right there in the mouth of Galveston Bay.
Yeah.
And they've tried to do things like having fishing piers or party areas on it. And it's just kind of this big wreck that just sits there. So that's cool.
Yeah. See, I was wondering if they actually strategically placed it for like a reef type thing or something like that or whatever. Cause I know that they've done that in the past, but
they
that might have been done so long ago that they just didn't even think about it.
1919 when they sank it, or 1919 or 1920 when they sank it.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, I didn't even realize it was that long ago that they sank it there.
Long time ago. You see boats around and, you know, that's probably a good fishing spot.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
So we get back across the ferry after going and having our breakfast. And that's like the one big meal we're going to have, right?
Yeah.
And here's all these people parked in front of our tent with their awning set up. And they're just there to party for the day. There's like 10 cars.
Yeah. You're like, dude, 20, that's 30
people, and
that's my tent, though. Like,
you saw pictures. Like, when I open the tent up and we get up in the morning, literally have about a mile of beach to ourselves.
Yeah.
So come back, it's still that mile of beach.
Yeah.
And there's people right in front of us. That was crazy.
Yeah.
We moved.
Yeah.
Instead of being my wife's more confrontational than I am.
I'm not
that much so, but we just moved. We ended up moving the next day, really, because they came back.
Really?
Again, and did it with more people the next day. Okay. That's fine.
See, I don't know, man. Like, I understand, like, I'm not, like, super confrontational either, but I think I would have had to say something, be like, hey, dude, can y'all go down the beach, like, a quarter mile?
And this is no disrespect to anybody. I'm pretty sure they were Aggies. Just saying. Just saying. No, I'm not going to go past that.
Yeah.
I'd say the same thing if I had it on good foundation that they might have been from UT or some Longhorn or something.
Yeah.
I would have expected it of both of them.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I agree with you. They're both usually pretty arrogant.
Or they're Sooners.
Yeah.
You know, or
yeah.
Whatever. Whatever major university you go to. I'm pretty sure they from the Aggies.
I'm sure they would have had it plastered all over the back of their car, though. You know, my money goes to, you know, proud, whatever, alumni. There we go. Yeah. The alumni.
Well, they had a big Aggie flag fly, so I'm pretty sure. So okay.
Maybe.
We still made the most of it. We made the most of it. And, you know, first day I'm there, I'm getting into the water up to my, not quite to my knees, but I'm having, I'm scared of the ocean, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm drawn to it at the same time. It's amazing sitting there knowing literally you could get in this if you had the right kind of craft and go all the way to Africa, Australia, anywhere in the world. It's all connected.
Exactly.
Life is all connected through the ocean. And there's life in the ocean.
Yeah, that might eat you.
And, I'm, you know, first day, I'm a little hesitant. The next day, I'm up to, like, waist, and you kind of sit down, and the waves hit you, and there's the different kinds of... You can get out deeper and deeper. And then like the final day, I'm up to my neck.
Yeah.
In the ocean. And I'm just like, cause it's like my wife just kind of like coaxes me a little farther.
Yeah.
It's fun. You know, you can feel the power, you know, you gotta be aware of like riptides.
Oh yeah. It's pretty amazing. Like to feel it, like pull across your feet.
Oh
even.
Yeah.
Like just the strength of it. And you're like, holy crap, man.
And there's fish jumping. And at first that scared me.
Oh yeah.
But there's fish jumping. I'm like, what's making the fish jump?
Yeah. There's something chasing.
There's something chasing that. I don't know.
That's the same thing I always think too.
And thank God that no one, our cousin Dan sent me a picture the day we were leaving.
Yeah. Of a tiger shark.
Of a giant shark caught just down the coast.
Yeah.
Just down the coast that. Could have swallowed me in one bite.
Oh yeah, what was it like 605 pounds
something like that? Is huge.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, because I'm literally that's what I'm doing when I'm out there in the water. My wife says, you know, jumping in the water and you know what, how, so hopping the waves or whatever.
Yeah,
blue, and I'm like scanning the water. But I survived.
Yeah,
she found a shell, and my swim shorts had a pocket, and she found this awesome shell, and she said. Here, you got a pocket? I'm like, because she actually felt it in the water, picked it up.
Yeah.
Put it in my pocket. It was not just an empty shell.
Yeah, it wasn't vacant.
No, it was not. It's an inhabitant had not abandoned the premises, let's just say.
So you got a pet hermit crab now?
No, we put them back.
Okay.
We put them back in there.
Yeah.
I was like thinking, so, because she discovered it, she set it on our little table we had at the campsite.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, the next thing I know, it just fell off the table. So I had to go put it back in the water. Weird, nice. And then the last night, try to get to the end of it here. We'd been worried about rain every night.
Yeah.
It really rained a little bit one night. We had, you know, the fly on the tent. It was fine. But then out of nowhere, and this makes me respect nature even more, because the wind wasn't blowing as hard as a hurricane.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. There's people, like I said, with their stuff near the beach where they're just partying. And then there's people like us that, you know, every 200 or 300 yards, they have a tent set up near the dunes.
Yeah.
The wind hits, and next thing you know, there goes that person's canopy.
Oh, wow.
People up on the fronts that were parked, had been parked in front of us, their canopies were coming down. Our tent flattened.
Oh, wow. Holy crap.
And the wind, you know, it blows up here, the wind, especially in the spring. No, this was a wind that I've never felt.
Yeah.
Unrelenting, non-stopping.
I was about to say, it's coming straight in off the water, though. So I'm pretty sure there's nothing to stop it, man.
And it didn't show anything. I finally got a signal and looked, checked it out, and it didn't show any sign of let up. And we were planning on leaving the next day.
Yeah.
We just packed up.
No, did y'all go ahead and come home that night then or whatever?
We just packed up and found a cheap place.
Oh, there you go.
Like midway.
Yeah.
So we didn't feel rushed because it was late. It was 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
2 or 3 in the morning before we got home.
Yeah. See, sometimes I'd rather drive at night, though, than drive during the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Myself, just personally, just because, like, it's a little bit more peaceful. Even though you don't get to see as much, but it just feels a little bit more peaceful. There's not as many people on the road. But then again, like I said, you can't stop and check things out or whatever. Because that's a pretty neat drive coming back from
down beautiful. That way. Oh, it's beautiful. You go, I mean, you see every, pretty much, the only thing you don't get to see is like the really the hill country and mountain
yeah.
of West Texas.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you go from the coastal plain through the forest to the prairies to where we live up here, where you start getting out more, starting the edge of West Texas
yeah.
starts.
Yeah. Know? And that's what's really neat is if you go down, if you would have gone over to like Port Arthur and then up like through Orange.
Yeah.
And, Lufkin and all like that. You go through what they call like the big thicket.
The big thicket. Yeah. I've always wanted to go through
which
that.
Which is crazy, man. Like, I don't know if other people do this, but like whenever I look at things like that, I always think about the early explorers, like the first people through the area or whatever. Yeah. Like, how the devil did they manage to get through that? And how long did it take them? Because when they call it the big thicket, there's a reason why, because there's a bunch of trees, but there's so much undergrowth also that they're, it's just, I don't know how the devil they got through. I have no idea.
Following Native American trails.
Had to have something.
Because I have this firm belief that most of the roads that we follow were trails used by Native Americans. And a lot of those trails were made because they were following natural animal trails.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Yeah. Because it's like, I mean, they're going to find the easiest path through.
Yeah,
so
I've done research on, you know, these white explorers of the 19th century discovering the West. They weren't discovering anything. They were being shown the way to go by native
people.
Oh yeah, Lewis and Clark, they were taken.
Yeah, I was about to say
that's how you go.
Yeah,
it wasn't a mystery to the people that had been living here for thousands of years. This is the best route.
Yeah,
I just think it's funny to go back and read some of these accounts like Randolph B. Marcy going out into West Texas and he's exploring to find the headwaters of the Red River.
Yeah.
Well, he had Delaware Indian scouts that had already been there 20 times.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, they probably already knew it to begin with. Like, that was like their homelands, their grounds. Yeah. So they knew all the good. Hey, do you know where this starts at? Well, yeah, we'll take you right over here. I mean, it wasn't that easy, obviously.
That's why when I read old accounts, like I was looking at a Bigfoot Wallace. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He was an early Texas explorer.
Yeah.
And a famous person. Reading some early stuff that was written about him. And it's like, I always like, yeah, I see your point of view.
Yeah.
But what's the real story here, dude? Because I don't really believe all the stuff.
Oh, well, yeah. The it's like they always made the explorers that. And I can't remember who it was that was with Lewis and Clark. It was
Sacagawea.
Yeah, Sacagawea. Good grief. How did I forget that? She was on a coin.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what I always call the coins because it's always hard to pronounce Sacagawea. But anyways, yeah. like, I always kind of wondered about that. Like, you know, obviously that, you know, history was awful biased at that point in time. I'll just say biased, racist, whatever you want to call it, because they're not going to give the Native American the credit for taking the explorers. I use that with quotations because they weren't really explorers. They were kind of like ride along guys like, hey, you guys take me here.
Right.
And, you know, it'll be all right. But I always kind of wondered, like, you know, even back in high school, like I remember one of my favorite assignments I can still remember of all the way back to high school was, I was in a wildlife class at the same time I was taking, American history.
Oh, cool.
And, we had our American history teacher wanted us to do a journal of Lewis and Clark about like what they would have found on the way, like what we would have thought that they would have written in their journal or whatever.
Yeah.
So I did this really neat thing to where I got my wildlife book and my American history book, and then just kind of like plotted the trail and then did little drawings of wildlife that they might find along the way, you know, like this type of stuff and about trapping them and blah, blah, blah. So it's just kind of one of those weird things that I can still remember that. I mean, I aced the thing because I always loved history and it was a fun assignment for me to do, you know, but yeah, it's anyways, I don't know how I got sidetracked off onto all the way back to high school, but
just the
oh yeah, the explorers. Part. Yeah.
And I do respect it. That brings up something. You brought it up, the racist accounts.
Yeah.
It's call it what it is. I mean, there's historical markers just west of here. I remember stopping at reading one. I'm like, holy cow, they went there. I won't get into the specifics of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and here's the thing. We were raised up biased. Cowboys and Indians.
Oh, yeah.
Movies and TV shows. The Indians were the bad guys. And, you know, you go back and read early accounts of firsthand accounts of, you know, I've read some of the horrific things that happened to settlers.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it. I get why they had a bias. Horrific stories that, you know, we were encroaching on another culture's land that was theirs.
Well, not only that, like, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but not only that, we were bringing all sorts of disease and things like that that they'd never been exposed to. Like, I heard, I read some numbers one time that they'd said that it's possible that whenever the Native Americans got exposed to the Europeans, the white man, whenever they
initially,
came up,
yeah,
that whenever they've, that disease spread through the Native Americans and it knocked out like numbers I heard all the way up to 80 to 90%
of them. That's not a lie. That happened all across the North America.
It literally
did wipe out.
Yeah.
Like in Texas, there's accounts of Spanish explorers coming across the village and like, yeah, these, most of the people used to, you can tell their living conditions used to be a lot more people there. And now there's just like a couple of guys left.
Yeah. And that was another thing. What really I found interesting about it was because they were talking about the Spanish and the, I think it was like the Spanish and the Aztecs or the Spanish and the Incas or whatever, where they came across them and, you know, they were basically just able to kind of like mow through them or whatever, basically eventually.
Yeah. They'd been weakened a lot by the disease because their immune systems weren't ready for all the European germs.
Oh, yeah.
Brought over.
But part of she's not going to let the door stay shut, man. She's just going to come bowling on through it and say the devil with it. Everything's that door won't shut all the way because everything's been so dry. The wood's just swelled up. Good grief. She's been having issues with her skin.
But yeah, you can go real deep into that kind of thing and really look at the perspective of it. And I, you know, there's a book that I read when I was probably still in high school called Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Yeah.
By a guy named D. Brown. It's a really famous book. In fact, there was like a TV series, mini series that was on HBO or something based on it. He went back in history and he's like, okay, I'm going to give this story of North America from the perspective of the Native Americans.
Yeah.
And it was mind blowing because, yeah, Custer wasn't a hero.
No, God, no.
And a lot of the guys, you know, they painted them as these awesome, great people. No, they were just murderers.
Yeah.
You know, going into villages and killing an entire village of just women and children. Oh, yeah, you're real brave, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm calling you out, Shivington. You know who you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what one of the things was that I got me about that. Well, I was talking about where it was kind of comparing the two, and it was saying that, you know, whenever one of the Europeans started to move westward and started having these battles or whatever, and that they would run into stiff resistance from the Native American populations or whatever. And they were kind of comparing that to the Spanish, where they made their way through like South America or whatever. I don't guess technically it's South America. It's what is that South America? I don't
know. Mexico, North America. Yeah. But they're also in South America. Yeah. Same thing.
But I was about to say my geography totally gets off with that area. But anyways, I guess technically it's kind of Central America, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Anyways, she's just not going to let the door stay shut, man. She's going to come in.
Sally, yeah. just sit down.
She's having issues right now. Anyways, they were kind of comparing the two, and it really got me thinking, like, if the disease hadn't gone through the Native Americans like what it had been, would the Europeans have been able to push as far through as what they did? Because they were talking about, like, you know, the Europeans would have, like, overwhelming numbers compared to the American Indians, unless you had places like, you know, Little Bighorn and stuff like that, where they didn't realize that they were going up against the massive force of, you know, what was that? Blackfoot and Sioux?
Lakota.
Yeah.
The Sioux.
Yeah. Lakota and Sioux. And where they, you know, but they were saying, like, what would it have been like if the disease hadn't taken hold and wiped out as many of numbers of the Native Americans as what it had beforehand?
Yeah.
To where, I mean, you know, those guys put up a hell of a fight. They were some fierce warriors, especially when you think about the dog soldiers and, you know, those guys that would go out and they'd stick their spear in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's
Cheyenne
like,
and Kiowa dog soldiers.
Yeah.
Man, there's there's one guy, his name was Satank. I believe it stands for White Bear, or am I getting that? There's Satanta and Satank. They were really prevalent in the history of North Texas.
Yeah.
One of them ended up dying in Jacksboro, jumping out a window.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or getting thrown out. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the other one, he was really old. He's like in his 70s. And he had led some raids into Texas out of revenge for the death of his son, who had gone and, you know, they just going, part of their culture was like horse theft. You know, the bigger your herd, your enemies have horses, you go take their horses and stuff. And then yeah. conflict happens and people die. Anyhow, he ended up getting arrested and was being taken to Texas for trial. And he's in the back of this wagon with one soldier with a loaded weapon. And he starts saying, he was the head of the dog soldiers. He was the guy that had been, you know, a leading warrior for the Kiowa tribe for forever.
Yeah.
And he's in his 70s and he's still a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, there's pictures of him that you can find. And, he, had decided, you know, he's one of those guys that like go into battle. They stick a spear or an arrow into like this, it's like a sash that they wore.
Yeah.
That they were the number, the leader of it. And until if the Batang turned, he could not leave until
the battle was over.
The bat laid one, or one of his fellow warriors said, no, you're coming with us.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, then I think he could save face by, you know. Anyhow, he's in there. He's got his blanket wrapped around him. They're going back down towards Jacksboro to stand trial. And he kind of, every once in a while, he starts singing this song. And it turns out it's like a death song or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Kiowa song. And, he's got handcuffs on and he's like ducking his head under the blanket and singing. And then he just stop. And after a while, he stands up with no handcuffs on. He had chewed the flesh off of his hand so he could slip his handcuffs out. His hands out of the handcuffs.
Yeah.
Grabs the rifle. I think he might have even killed the guy that was there. And then, you know, he wasn't going to go peacefully.
Yeah.
Away into that dark night. He wasn't going to let them take him and judge him. He's like, I got one more fight in me. And he stood up and they mowed him down.
But, you know, that's the story
I've always wanted to, you know, that's like,
that needs to be made into a movie.
Yeah. It's like he lived it and yeah. he wasn't going to take it from them.
See, there's so many, that's one of the things that aggravates me because there's so many stories that need to be made into a movie. Like that one right there. Like the one, podcast I sent y'all the other day of the bus driver who just, he decided instead of whenever he was leaving home that morning, instead of turning to go on his route, turn right, he took a left and he wound up driving all the way down to Florida or whatever.
So I haven't listened to that one
yet. In a New York City bus.
Wow.
Yeah. He drove for New York City and instead of taking a right to go drive his route, he decided to take a left and then he stopped at the, he stopped in Washington D.C. and in front of the White House and parked his bus there. And whenever a policeman came up and told him that he couldn't park there, he said, "Oh, it's okay that I'm with some union and I'm waiting for the union officials to come out or whatever." And so he, you know, and then he just drove on further down to I think it's Miami, Florida.
Wow.
Went down to Miami, went for a midnight swim in the ocean, came out. Went and did some gambling and was broke. And so he sent a Western Union to his boss asking for $50. And then wow. that's where he got arrested. And then, but he came back home as like a hero. Of course, it's like 1947 whenever this happened.
Grand adventure.
Yeah. It's a great story. And, but it like the podcast and it was that radio diaries that you turned me on to just by sending an article or whatever. It's by NPR and, He comes back and he's like coming back to like a hero's welcome or whatever. But then of course, you know, they can't just give you one side of the story. They start talking to his family and his oldest son, who I think was like 12 at the time or whatever. And he was just talking about how ashamed he was of it because his dad, he was so worried. He's like, well, did he drive into a lake or,
yeah.
you know, get into a big wreck that nobody knew about and blah,
That's the best kind of documentary though, that really goes deep. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
I didn't listen to that one yet. I listened to the one about the wax.
Oh
which
yeah.
was really
the wasps.
Wasps. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which was just amazing.
Oh yeah.
Amazing hearing these ladies, what they were given.
Yeah.
What they accomplished and what was taken from them.
Yeah. Well, they
all in the span of a few years.
Oh, yeah. Where the, I guess it was the head of the Army Air Corps said that he wasn't sure if a, a little slip of a lady could, and this is his actual words, so don't hate me, internet, but a little slip of a lady could handle the controls of a B-17. And he was impressed because they could do more than that or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then, but, yeah, that was one, branch that I always kind of like had been interested in was the WASP, was the Women's Air Corps Service Pilots, something like that. But the end of that podcast, man, like, and it could just be because I'm getting older. I get a little bit more emotional about things or whatever.
Yeah.
But the end of that podcast, like, I almost was tearing up a little bit, man. Like, it was bad because I'm there at work because there's that lady and she's talking about, you know, she's had opportunities to go fly on B-17s and things like that. But she always turns it down because she wants to remember it. She doesn't, well, it sounds like she doesn't just want to ride, but she doesn't want to forget her experience as a kid flying them and have it, you know, tainted by a new memory or whatever.
Yeah. See, that's another bias that still pervades today.
Yeah.
Oh, she can't do that. No. They, those women were brave. One of them was talking about when they were just doing test flights and that something would go wrong and like, they like, hey, where'd that plane go? And like, oh, no, there's a parachute down there.
Yeah. The pilot would turn them upside down and they'd have to buckle their seatbelt and they'd fall out or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one, and then another one that touched me was, did you hear the one about the oldest, the last two Civil War veteran widows?
Yeah.
That died in the 1990s.
Yeah.
And you're like, how the heck could that happen?
Yeah, they both.
And one was married to a former Confederate soldier, and one was married to a former Union soldier that was an escaped slave that went and fought for the North.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just really touching listening to her talk about him.
Oh, God, yeah. And hearing his actual account where he was like, I didn't want to be a slave anymore.
I want to be free. I want my freedom. And, you know, the setup. Things
like that gives me chill bumps, man.
Just, yeah. And it's just weird because I mean, these guys, okay, let's do the math. And these women, I think they got married in the 19.
It's like the 1920s, I think, because they were both like.
These men would have been in their 80s.
Yeah. They were both young women. They were both like 18. One lady actually said that she married him because of his money.
Yeah.
You know, because they both were super poor. They were both, I think they were both like children of sharecroppers.
They were dirt poor. That was the kind of poor that. Yeah, you just, okay, one of them, the one that was married to the Confederate soldier, she met this old man. He needed somebody to come live at his house.
Yeah.
Basically just to have like a companion.
Yeah. Basically
and
take care of him.
He's like, will you marry me? And he's like, well, sure. And he goes and talks, she goes, I'm sorry. That's the way she talked.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, he goes into the shack, one room shack where everybody, all 10 kids and the two parents lived in eight in one room or two rooms and asked their father for her hand in marriage. And she's like, yeah, they were tired of feeding me anyhow. So I was like, sure. And you know, it was escape. And the African American lady.
Yeah.
What I was touching about her is, she had got set up with her husband through the church.
Yeah, through the preacher.
She said, I want you to meet this man.
Yeah.
And now he had been a successful man after the war, apparently had some money.
Yeah.
Done well for himself. And, he's like, she realized later on that he just did this. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh yeah, dirty old man, 80-year-old marrying a 20 something or teenage. No, this guy just did it. He just wanted to better her life.
Yeah.
He provided her with an opportunity to have a better life. And then, of course, he died within both husbands died within about 5 years.
Yeah, it was within 5 years of them getting
and
married.
And then she, whatever wealth she had, a lot of it she lost.
Lost, the
Great
one.
Depression.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she wound up, I think, was it her or was it, I can't remember which one, wound up marrying the grandson or something like that. Yeah, like,
so I'm your own grandma.
I'm my own grandma. She wound up marrying like the grandson or the grandnephew or something like that of one of them. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the African-American lady. I don't think she remarried afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think it was the other lady, the Southern lady, the one that was married to the Confederate soldier, that she wound up marrying his, like, I think it was like his grandson or great grandson or something like that. But what was crazy is, like, I think she was like a year older than his grandson was or whatever. So they were like, that gives you an idea of the age difference between them because of the
huge age difference.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, listening to her, she's like, we didn't have any shoes.
Yeah.
And we didn't really have clothes to speak of. They just didn't have anything.
Well, that's like,
how about how hard things were? And they had it. That was a lot better situation they were in than when, like, the first people settling came in.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, it's like, what's crazy. Did you ever hear our grandmother talk about, her whenever she was a kid and about them going out and turning over old Model Ts and stuff?
Yeah, they stole a Model T.
I heard the story of them turning them over. Like, they'd wait in, like, the bar ditch or whatever. Whenever one of them would come driving up, they'd run out because it's, like, right on a turn, and they'd push them over. And, like, run off.
Okay. No, I didn't hear that one. Yeah. I heard one when she was, I might be misremembering, but I kind of remember when she was dying.
Yeah.
Her kids were getting together and, telling stories about her. She was there. You know, she's still there, but wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something came up about, maybe they were bringing up that story or stealing, going for a joyride in a car once. And, then somebody made a joke about my dad not being full brothers. Don't know. Our ma was kind of a crazy lady.
She was, apparently. Like. But
my other grandmother told me stories. We were talking. This is near the end. I'd go sit with her and we'd talk. And she's like, she was born in 1916 or 17 or something like that. So she grew up during the Depression.
Quit.
I'm sorry, Dave.
No. Trying to get the dog to quit rubbing herself raw on the carpet over there.
She would tell me stories. She's like, we didn't have nothing.
Yeah.
She said, we didn't have any money. We were dirt poor. And she says, but we didn't know it.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were poor. We were happy.
Yeah.
My mom and dad, you know, they made sure we had food. You know, if they could get us some new clothes. I mean, they didn't know what they didn't have.
Yeah.
Because everybody else around them was the same boat.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we'd go. She actually remembered riding in wagons. Like, she grew up in the Bolivar area, northwest of Denton, Texas, which is north of Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And they would go on trips to visit relatives in Era, Texas, and it would be an all-day trip by wagon.
Yeah.
And then you'd stay the night, and then, you know, come back maybe the next day or day after, just in a wagon.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just, and that's my grandmother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's just blows your mind.
I think things have gotten so advanced in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Not to mention her lifetime.
Oh, God,
they're moving so fast now. I mean, they're landing rockets on barges in the middle of the ocean now.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom how far we've come in that sort of time. And just before that, what? You were still, everything was, you know, you had telegraph and telephones around then.
And radio was still new, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's whenever you really think about the lifespan of our grandparents, where they started off with still, like, the main transportation at that point in time was still horse and buggy.
Yeah.
I mean, there was cars, but they weren't very prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went from horse and buggy to cars. And then not only that, all of a sudden these people are deciding to start flying in the sky.
Yeah.
And then they went from, you know, prop airplanes to jet airplanes to not only jet airplanes and now shooting people into outer space. And that's one thing that, like, always, and I know I've brought it up on here before, that it just bothers me that I feel like we are progressing, but we're progressing in a different way. With the computers and things like that. Like, you know, like you always see that little thing that says, like, your iPhone is the same amount of computation that more than what the first manned missions to outer space had.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, in a way that's like amazing, but still a little bit disappointing in a way, just because it's like, I want to see more. I just call it greedy if you want, but. You know, I feel like we're expanding in the wrong direction instead of looking towards, I mean, obviously everything's technology based, but instead of looking towards like, hey, well, how far can we push this computer? Like, hey, how can we adjust this? Or how can we change this? Or how can we move this and make this more efficient, more less harmful to us and everybody around us and harmful to the you know, just universe itself, period. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And then, yeah, it always kind of makes me wonder, even whenever we send stuff up into the outer space or whatever, like, are we doing damage to the ozone by puncturing it, sending things out? Because what is it? Is it, I don't know. It's kind of like, I think of it like as a little magic bubble that surrounds the space, you know, keeps us from the vacuum or whatever.
It's our dome.
Yeah.
And now, then we go and we read a book like The Expanse.
Yeah.
And there's clear ties to technology we have. Their terminals, their hand terminals. That's just their phones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we call them phones still, but really this is not a phone. How do you really use this as a phone?
Not very often.
It's a portable computer that provides everything from social interaction to the knowledge of the world at your fingertips. My question is access to all of this advanced information and technology, are we really getting smarter, or is the technology getting smarter than us and we're dumbing ourselves down?
I think,
and this is me being a naysayer, but I really think so much of this, I'm curious. We'll see where the younger generations, the next, they'll prove us wrong, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm really worried that the laziness I see, you know, you got a question and yet you don't look it up. You just don't bother to look it up.
Yeah.
I'll just assume this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just worries me.
No, yeah. No, I completely understand it.
It's idiocracy is our future, I'm afraid, is what I'm saying.
Right. Mike Judge was hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man, because, you know, it's kind of funny to think about, like, how we existed before Google, before the internet, before you had your phone. Yeah, even though, like, you might have a discussion with somebody and, like, I can't tell you how many times now I have a discussion with somebody and be like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll just look it up real quick.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's taking away people's ability to debate almost. Because it's like, there's no, well, I'm going to try to prove you're right. Well, I'm going to try to prove you're right. Well, no, I'm going to try to prove you're blah, 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 blah. Now there's like, question here, answer. Or whatever. I don't know. Like, it's still pretty damn cool, though.
But. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get rid of it. I love it. But I've made a conscious effort lately.
Yeah.
To where I limit my, because it's a time suck is what it is. Oh, God,
yeah. It's the biggest time killer that there is, man.
I mean, there's a game I play every night. Archery King. I've gotten into it. And every night I limit myself to a little bit of time playing it and trying to advance and develop my skills and buy better bows. And it's tough because all these people, especially when I see a red flag with a gold star in it, somebody from China, I believe, I'm always scared when they come because they whoop my butt every single time.
Those little dudes.
I'm going to get them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, it made me think though. I mean, lots of kids. This leads into my final thing I want to discuss because this is something I was thinking about coming over here. How much time you spent outside growing up?
Oh, God.
You know, I heard an ophthalmologist talk about the reason there's so many kids with bad eyesight is not because they're looking at their phones necessarily or the screens. It's because they're not getting enough sunlight because they don't go outside. Now, there are lots of kids like our cousin Milton.
Yeah.
They're two boys. They're outside a lot playing because they have to go outside and play. It's just, and they want to.
Yeah.
Then I got like my oldest daughter. She just has never had or was forced to really go outside.
Yeah.
My sister didn't either. So I don't know if I'm not trying to make it a male female thing, but when she was older than me, she didn't really go outside. But not when you're kids, you'd go out on an adventure, right?
Yeah.
When you had, I don't remember the street.
Yeah.
What was that street you lived on, that first house when y'all were little?
Wayne Drive, man.
Wayne Drive. David Wayne.
Yeah. I always said it was my road because it was my little name.
That's funny, right?
Yeah.
Little things like that. How long did that go on until you're 20? Right. Oh, no, yeah, wasn't named after me?
I was about to say, what are you talking about?
But you had a big, if my memory serves right behind your back fence.
We had that big pasture. Big
pasture, and you go out exploring.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have, that's my setup for when we ever do this. And we got a message on Twitter from a friend from Germany, Michael. He's like, so is this RPG thing? Is it ever going to happen?
It's going to happen.
Or did I dismiss it? I'm like, politely pestered Dave
yeah.
to get his character.
I did reply back to that because I saw that and I was like, I was like, I just got to get sit down. Like yesterday was one of my days that I didn't have anything at all to have to do. And I still didn't make a character.
But like, no, that's fine. Yeah. My point, my thing here is though, I'm like, here's the hook.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't even be talking about it. I might even cut this out, but here's the hook.
Yeah.
I want to go back in time. Y'all are going to start out role playing. Well, let's say what you would, when you were 10, how old would Steven have been? 11, 12?
Yeah. Yeah. He's 2 years old.
So let's go back to, or maybe 8 and 10.
Yeah.
We're going to time travel back.
All right.
And y'all are at your house.
There. Ooh, I've even got a perfect scenario for that too, because about the same time frame, we had a water main bust right behind the house, okay. and there was a big, huge hole.
That's exactly yeah. it. Because I was going to say, your mom's gone down the street to visit grandma, take yeah. little baby sister Amanda with her, left you crazy boys there to run around and listen to heavy metal and and dig holes.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, y'all were going to go out Indiana Jones style and go dig for treasure or something. That's even better.
Yeah.
And then this uncovers this box. In the box is something. And next thing you know, y'all both touch it. There's a message or something. You touch this thing. You're given instructions. Something. This is all me just making up a story here.
Yeah.
And then it's like a blinding light, a dark void, warmth and cold, electrical effects kind of yeah. shocking all around you, and then everything goes blank. And then you wake up next to your brother, but you know that your name is not Dave. He knows his name is not Steve, but he still feels something like, hey, I'm Dave. And you look at each other, and now you are fully grown men.
Yeah.
Looking like your Elder Scroll character. And Steven looking like however his character he envisions being.
Yeah.
And there we take off, and you have a quest.
Awesome. Sounds cool,
man. Does
that
sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
I just ruined it.
No, you didn't.
It's just a setup.
It's just a teaser is what that is. It's like the teaser trailer to a good movie or something like that.
As the game, the DM or what?
Yeah, the guy in the background master. Going like,
I'm just setting things up.
Two boys playing in the backyard.
See, I'm fed. This idea comes from lots of things. Shazam. Yeah.
I can dig it.
Did you see the trailer for Shazam?
No, I haven't.
Dude, when we're done here, you're going to watch the trailer for Shazam, and you're going to get all goosebumps all over you and love it.
Really? Because I just remember the original Shazam that had Shaquille O'Neal, and I was like, I don't know.
No, not that Shazam. This yeah. is the Shazam from DC Comics back when I was little, from the early 70s.
Oh, okay.
Where little boy meets this game, and he gets these powers of Hercules and all that, you know.
Yeah.
That's good stuff
there. Sounds freaking cool.
And there's this comic I've read called Birthright, where a little boy gets transported to a fantasy world. His dad is out actually playing catch with him near the woods. The boy runs into the woods to get the ball, and the boy never comes back. The dad starts looking for the little boy. He gets blamed for the disappearance, possible murder of his own son. His family splits apart. Meanwhile, the little boy is over growing up at a hyper fast time in this other world.
Yeah.
To be the hero. And then next thing you know, like 5-10 years pass, or 5-3 years pass, and the boy comes back a fully grown man in his mid to late 20s, looks like Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
And it is, they realize pretty quick, this is our son.
Yeah.
He's just been somewhere else.
That's so crazy.
I'm ripping off all these other ideas.
Speaking of Jason Momoa, have you seen the trailer for Aquaman?
Yeah.
Dude. It actually looks really cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, it does. Like, I always kind of thought Aquaman was one of the lamer characters, but now, like,
he talks to fish. You talk to fish.
Yeah, right. What are you going to do? Hit me with sushi?
No. Aquaman is... Yeah, they did make him really lame, though.
Yeah.
Cartoons and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even his little fish scale tights and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's going to do it for us today. We're running over an hour right now as it is. Oh, heck. Unless you got something else.
I'm done. I'm spent.
I brought my show notes.
We didn't use them.
Still need to use them.
Well, oh, well, that's Steven's not
that's,
here.
Exactly. That's because Steven's not here. I didn't want to use them anyways, but it was always good to have it just to be on the safe side. To still like the safe. Oh yeah. I was going to touch base. I did get a reply back on, my question I had brought up about the Thor in outer space thing or whatever.
Okay.
And it was actually reply back from Adam. So I'll just read back his reply real quick. Let me see if I can get to it. I just open up my messenger here and it's like all the gifts of tongues that I said earlier when we said the tongue lashes back. What was it? Let me get back up here.
While you're looking at, you know, Adam, early on, I almost suggested us changing it from 2BT to 3BT or something, but I'm really glad we didn't because the way things have gone, it's usually 2BT.
Oh, yeah.
Our brother from another mother, Adam, rolls in and takes place when me and Steven are gone. And then some days Steven's gone, I'm here, he's gone, I can't speak. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's still usually 2BT.
Yeah. So here is Adam's reply to me. It's, Thor's an Asgardian. And has been established in Thor 1 and 3 that he's not human and traveling through the Bifrost is basically like shooting a spitball through space. His ability to live in space is established in the previous movies. Loki is lost in space in Thor 1. Now, my rebuttal was this, like in the first Thor movie, you know, after he goes and like, wages war against the Frost Giants because the Frost Giants tried to steal the Tesseract.
Yeah.
He goes and wages war on him. Odin gets pissed off at him, strips him of all his powers, basically turns him human or whatever, and sends him through the Bifrost.
Yeah, yeah.
To Midgard, a.k.a. Earth. And, you know, so as he's shooting through that, I don't really see it as like shooting a spitball through space because he's obviously got to be like a tunnel or bridge or
wormhole
or something like that to where to me it's still pressurized because if he would have been through there, he would have had all those fluids vacuumed out or what everybody was complaining about with Leia or whatever. Kind of the same thing in Avengers. He's missing an eye. Unless he's got like a freaking like super solid patch on that thing, then you're going to be losing everything out of that orifice, I would assume. But again, he's Asgardian at that point. Mm-hmm. But still, like, even still, going back to the first one, might still be Asgardian, but he's more human now because he even gets beat up and he bleeds and all like that in the first movie. Now, yeah. I need to see more of the movie more, and I think me and Adam might actually have a little discussion at some point in time in a future episode, but I just kind of wanted to bring that up real quick. So I was like, I'm hoping I can get some more replies on it. I haven't checked the email, so I should probably do that. But speaking of which, if you wanted to reach us on by email, you can reach us. That's 2btshow@gmail.com. That's the number 2btshow@gmail.com. If you want to get us through Twitter, it's the same thing. It's at the number 2btshow. That's at 2btshow. Stop by nerdylegion.com/audible. Sign up for 2 weeks. 2 weeks free. Get you 2 free books. You don't have to keep the subscription, but you get to keep the books. You're going to keep the subscription because it's awesome. I know, Mike. It's like crack.
It is. It really is.
It's like crack that's good for you, though.
I found it funny that Steven, when I was gone last weekend, said me going to work like going to vacation. It's like, should I be offended by that? Because I work my butt off. But at the same time, it's like, sometimes it's really, because when I'm sitting there and listening, I forget what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm focusing on what I'm working on, but at the same time, I'm getting, it's kind of like, it is like a vacation in my head, a vacation from work.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm working, getting to listen to these cool stories that you can get.
It's amazing. It's great. And I know not everybody has a job where you can sit there and listen to books. What if you do? You can't beat it.
Mow the yard?
Yeah. You can mow the yard. You can do it while you're driving to work. You can do it while you're on the treadmill. You can do it while you're walking the dog. You can do it while you're cooking dinner. You can do it while you're lounging around on Sunday.
I've done that at home when I'm just home alone.
Yeah.
Which is rare, but there are the times when I've just been home alone and I still want to get, to the end of this book.
So
I just would lay on the couch and close my eyes and
put in your headphones and there you go.
Yeah. It's fun stuff.
And it's a good way to relax. You don't have to stress your eyes or anything like that. You can just pop in the earbuds.
Yeah, it's like Paul says, save your eyes for comics.
Yeah.
Use your ears for books.
Save your eyes for books with pictures.
Or for movies.
Yeah. I might do that. I wonder what's playing right now.
Well, I don't know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go get some stuff, and we're going to make homemade pasta.
Oh.
And make an Italian dish called cacio e pepe.
What?
it's basically a cheese pepper sauce.
Oh, wow.
Made nothing with water, pecorino cheese, some salt.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be delicious.
Sounds
freaking
awesome.
And we're going to try to make it from scratch, everything.
Yeah.
Except for the cheese, because I don't have a sheep to milk for the time to make cheese.
You don't want sheep anyways. Sheep are so nasty.
I had goats for a year.
Yeah.
And in the end, my goat experience, I ended up just getting, I could have sold them and made my money back that I spent on getting them.
Yeah.
This is a story for another time, baby. I gave them away. I'm like, here, please take them.
They're dicks. Goats are dicks.
We planted lots of trees around our house, like little oak trees, little saplings, right?
Yeah, they ate them.
They did. And in fact, what they would do is they would take turns. One where they couldn't reach to the top of the tree. One would go over and jump on it and bend it over so the other one could eat. And then they take turns doing that.
Yeah.
I saw them, one standing on the back of another to get to even a higher part of the tree. And they would take turns doing that. And I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
They're smart.
Oh, yeah.
They're cute.
Yeah. But they're dicks. You got to watch out if you're walking in the pen with them and you've got a billy goat in there. They'll run up and headbutt you right in the butt, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the goats are cute, especially when they're kids. That's the technical term for a baby goat as a kid.
We could almost go off another hour there, but we're not going to. We have so much we want to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We had some really deep Star Wars discussion that was just, I was simmering, just bubbling over, wanting to get out of my system. We didn't touch on any of that.
I know. We'll have to wait for Steve.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, it's not fair doing it without Steven.
I wouldn't feel right.
Yeah, it's a good filler show. So, but I think that's going to do it for us today. So, I'm David.
I'm La Lingua. La Lingua.
Well, let me do that again. I'm the anchor.
I'm the Lingua.
2BT signing out.
Adios.
Fuego con Diaz.
Hershey's.
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome. Later, guys.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm just rubbing all over my lips.
Use your mind. You don't use your body. Where do we go with this?
I don't know. But... Exactly. That's 2BT style as we go off the rails all the blasting time.
I don't know if I should say that.
Nope. Nope. Yeah, you know.
It's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. These views are not shared by 2BT.
This way. It is hot.
It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God. Oh. Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I used to love her. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But whatever. I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
Ha, 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 ha,
I don't know my words. I just like looking at the funny
ones. Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
need to get that whole alphabet thing confused. Right. No,
just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
This is fun for anybody listening. But
oh, my God.
You gotta play to win, man.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make it moan and perspire.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp, burp, burp. Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know. Like the...
it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
And you're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Yeah.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. How dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a tough show what tough is.
Go home.
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba of the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. Don't want to admit defeat, though. It's
not that. Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run-DMC.
Han, Luke, and Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda. Kenobi.
Ho.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. This is a good guy. This is a bad guy.
Go.
Dang it.
Like, crap. I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans are wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel. So eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No. You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old
because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.